I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell here. Alex Curie is normally over there, and he's out on special assignment. Filling in for him today is Matt Biamonte, the co-host of Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio from 12 to 3 every Saturday except for 2. I'm going to just get right to it because we can. So, John Morris, who is the voice of Baylor football, joins us all the way from Waco, Texas. I assume you're in Waco. Is that right? Anyways, welcome to the program, John. How you doing?
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Good to be on with you and Matt today. And I am in Waco, and we're looking at a little rain this afternoon.
Oh.
So rain this time of year is most welcome in Central Texas.
It's, you know, funny thing, it's actually raining here in Salt Lake. We've had quite a weather.
Really?
Yeah, we've had quite a weather year here. We broke a record for snowfall. It was 967 inches at one of the ski resorts, and that equates to 75 feet of snow that actually dumped on the mountain. if you're interested in that thing.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you compare your snowfall there. We'll compare our days over 100 here, and they might come out pretty even.
So interesting things here. Of course, locally here in Salt Lake, we've got Utah plays Baylor in Waco the second week of the season. And then, of course, BYU is joining the Big 12 this year. And so there will be could there possibly be a rivalry there? And Jeff Grimes, who coached at BYU for some years, is now the offensive coordinator at Baylor. What's the weather like, by the way, since we're on the weather? What's the weather going to be like in Greet? And I think this game is like 11 o'clock in the morning when Utah plays Baylor this year. What is the second week of September like?
Yeah, it is. It's 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff, and it will probably be – so we're about to hit a string of hundreds. Next week, I think, is our first predicted 100. We haven't had one yet, which is a little bit unusual. But it'll be, you know, not every day, but it'll be I-90s 100 for the next 3 or 4 months. And so that'll include September 9th. So I would guess with an 11 a.m. kickoff on September 9th, it might be 90 degrees at kickoff, and then maybe, 100 or so by halftime. And, you know, who knows how much above 100 it will go, but it'll be hot. I mean, early September is really hot. Our first game of the year is September 2nd. That's a 6 p.m. kickoff, so that's a little better. You don't have to deal with the sun, but, man, 11 a.m. in the boiling sun, it's going to be really rough.
2 years ago, Baylor wins the Big 12. Blake Shapen played a little bit towards the end of that year, but it was a lot of Gary Bohan. And last year, 6-7, a little bit of a step back. Why do you think Baylor football took that step back last year, and how do they get back to what they did 2 years ago?
Yeah, very fair question. And we were 6-3 at one point last year, and then down the stretch played not that badly, but didn't play well enough to win. We lost a game to TCU on a last-second field goal. You know, that would have been
a crazy field goal, too.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been a huge win for Baylor. So, you know, came close but didn't win. And then had some injuries down the stretch that really didn't help. I think they just need to get back to the way they played 2 years ago. And that's kind of stating the obvious. But Blake Shapen just didn't have the go-to receivers that I think he needed in his first year as a starting quarterback, full-time starting quarterback. He just didn't have any go-to guys there, and that made a big difference. So I think we've got those guys in place. I think the offensive line has retooled. We got a couple of transfers from BYU. You know,
the Barrington brothers.
That's right. Looks like both of those guys are going to start. They were the starters through spring, so we're glad to have them. So Baylor has retooled there, and I think you know, knowing Dave Aranda and Jeff Grimes, they're not going to let a repeat of last year happen again.
Brett Yormark, commissioner of the Big 12, is surely shaking the bushes and shaking things up and thinking outside the box and trying to do a lot of innovative things and creative things. What's your take on all of that? What do you like about it? Dislike about possibly playing regular season games in Mexico and different showcases in New York and basketball and special combines or pro days, I guess, in the conference. What are your thoughts on that generally?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I like Brett Yormark. That guy is, you talk about thinking outside the box. He is not only thinking outside the box, he is acting outside the box, you know, and making these things happen. You know, the Big 12 Mexico deal was formally announced today, and I'm okay with that. I just think that we being the Big 12, need to think that way, you know, need to have some progressive thinking and some things that maybe nobody else has thought of or nobody else is willing to do. So I like it. I really like Brett Yormark. The times I've had the opportunity to visit with him and interview him, gosh, he is just very forward-thinking, and I think it's just what we need right now. You know, bringing in the four new schools, that's exciting. And give credit to Bob Bowlsby, who was the commissioner that really brokered that deal to get those four new schools, including BYU, in. Credit Commissioner Bowlsby for that. And now Yormark has just taken the ball and run with it. And, to answer your question, I like it. I like the outside-the-box thinking. I think it's good for our league.
What is the draw to Mexico? Is it there's fans there? Your fans will travel there? Is it money? What's the draw to Mexico?
I think it's an untapped market for college sports. I think, Jerry Jones with the Cowboys, he realized that several years ago. And you go, you know, anywhere in Mexico now, you're going to see Cowboys caps and T-shirts and jerseys. And, we're here in Texas, of course, so we're not that far away from Mexico. So I think we can see it. I think that if the Big 12 will stage games regularly in Mexico, that the fans down there will come out to see, you know, American football and American basketball. And they're going to adopt the schools that they see, and those are going to be Big 12 schools. So I think it's really smart. I think it is an untapped market and a real, real chance to grow the Big 12 brand.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of the Big 12 brand, a couple of the marquee schools in that brand for so long. It's their last year in the conference, that being Texas and Oklahoma. Baylor hosts Texas on September 23rd. How significant is it for Baylor fans to have that game at home, with the, you know, knowledge that who knows when the next time will be that those two schools play?
Well, it's going to be big. I mean, we played Texas for over 100 years and rivals in the Southwest Conference, rivals in the Big 12, and, 100 miles apart, Waco and Austin. So it's going to be big, and you better believe our fans don't want to lose the final game they play against Texas,
yeah.
You know. They want to have that upper hand. And you're right. Who knows when we'll play them again, especially in football. You know, it might come around in some other sports that we play them, but in football, it may be a long, long time or maybe a bowl situation before we play Texas again. So that's the way I think our fans feel about that. They just want to have the upper hand as Texas rides off into the SEC.
Yeah, the dealing that with teams in the Pac-12 with USC and UCLA leaving, and it's just so awkward. You know, they're still there and they still play a season, but you certainly don't want to lose to them. You know, getting back to, you mentioned the Barrington brothers. What other surprises or things happened in the transfer portal that were favorable to Baylor?
Let me think. I think if you know Dave Aranda, our head football coach, I don't think anything ever surprises him. You know, he is such a deep thinker, a philosophical thinker, and I think he goes into the portal, you know, with his eyes wide open, and I think that they're prepared whatever might happen there. Now, that's not to say that somebody on the current team might jump ship and go somewhere else, and maybe he wasn't completely expecting that. But I think if that happens, he's got a plan to, you know, replace that spot, replace that player. And I just think that it is a very good system that Coach Aranda has in place here. They went to the portal and got and filled some areas of need, really. The Barrington brothers are two of the largest. You know, they needed to find some offensive linemen that could come in and step in and play and have experience, you know, stepping into starting roles in the Big 12. And they got that with those guys. And they needed, you know, I mentioned earlier with Blake Shapen, he really struggled because it was not a real go-to receiver last year. And they went and got a transfer from Arkansas, a guy named Keetron Jackson, who is really good. And, you know, that fills that role. So I think that they use the portal to their advantage. We lost some guys, but I think replace them well enough. And then we got some young guys that are going to have to step up also. So all that to say, Dave Aranda is very smart at what he's doing, very organized. And I think Baylor came out of the portal, you know, in really good shape.
2 years ago, Baylor had six players taken in the NFL draft. Jalen Petrie, probably the headliner of that group, but Tyquan Thornton, you know, you talked about receivers earlier. That was a big piece of that Baylor team. Last year, only Siaka Ika was selected from Baylor's football team. Who in this upcoming season do you think has a chance to play their way into being selected in next year's NFL draft?
Oh, that's a really good question. So you're asking me to look like 10 months into the future,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes. For Baylor. All right, let me think here. I think this guy, Keetron Jackson, the receiver, I mean, he's got, just watching him in the spring, he looks like a pro out there. So I would think he might be up there very high on the list. Let's see, who else? I'm trying to go position by position. We've got some running backs, kind of a core of running backs right now. So that might be a running back by committee. And some of those guys are small, like Richard Reese was the Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year this past year. I mean, he'll be around another year, but
he's got the potential.
I think he'll get a shot. Yes, he's got the potential, very much so. And then, you know, our linebackers, we've got sort of a new core of linebackers coming in. So there's just going to be so many new faces. If you'll let me get into the season a little bit and see these guys, you know, I might have a better handle, you know, on which ones might be able to move on and play at the next level.
BYU, of course, joining the conference, but not playing Baylor this year, but the University of Utah here in Salt Lake is. What do you guys know about the Utes, and what do you expect that game to be like?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, Pac-12 champs and coming here, we're glad the game is here. I think, do we play out there next year against Utah?
Yeah,
okay. So that makes sense because I know this series has been set for several years, and it's finally coming up. You know, Cam Rising, you better make sure that guy is 100%. Might need to hold him out the first couple of games to make sure he's back to 100%.
That might be a reality and not a bad idea.
Yeah, no. I wish the best for him, but certainly hope he's healthy and back out there for Utah. But just impressive what the Utes have done in the Pac-12, and I mean, it's going to be a really tough early season game for Baylor. The toughest, you know, by far non-conference game we have. We'll play Texas State at home, Utah the second week, and then Long Island in the third week. So toughest game Baylor will play, and already great respect for Utah and what they've done and what kind of team they'll bring in here in September.
I've got to ask you about the college football topic that never seems to go away, John, and that's that's realignment. Big 12 just went through it. They're up to 12, and there's rumors out there that they're courting Colorado and Arizona and other schools. Do you like this new group of 12, or are you interested in maybe expanding that even further?
Well, both. I do like the new group of 12. I like the additions. I think it's very well thought out. I love BYU coming into our league. I just think that's great. You know, Baylor, BYU played in football the last couple of years, and that was a huge win when Baylor won here in Waco on homecoming 2 years ago. You know, to win that game was huge. And then last year, the game there, that crowd, that atmosphere, and a double overtime game and a BYU win, I mean, that was some kind of atmosphere. So I love BYU coming into our league. And then you add the Cincinnati and UCF in Houston. We've got a great history with Houston also. I think those are great additions. But I just get the sense that, again, back to Brett Yormark, that he's not done. You know, he keeps talking about expanding and expanding west, which Colorado might be that team. I don't know, but a lot of smoke there, you know, from Boulder and maybe even further west from there. So I think there is strength in numbers. So if you've got a good, strong number of teams together, and that, you know, relates to more money in the pot, you know, the TV pot, I think it's great. If you add more schools, if they're the right schools, I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
You know, I would love, well, I because that was going to be my question was
sorry, Scott.
No, not that question. The question was going to be, what's the strategy? Why expand? Why have more teams? Why, you know, is it that stability, or is it the ability to be in more markets and more time slots throughout the day, and does it really equate to more money? I mean, have the TV partners talked about that kind of scenario? Like, if you have more teams, or if you have teams located in this part of the country, it has more value. And is that part of their agreement? Their media, like, if you expand the conference, we're going to expand the payout. I mean, do you know that, or I'm just curious of the strategy.
No. Yeah, I don't know. That makes sense. You know, what you're saying is, why expand unless it's going to lead to more dollars in your TV contract? And I think it could. You know, I think, well, that Baylor-BYU game last year was a great example, because we kicked off at what time? It was supposed to be 9:15 Central Time and got delayed and really kicked off about 9:45. So we were referring to it as the Big 12 after dark, you know, that game. And it did very well. You know, remember, it did really well in the ratings for ESPN. So I think that opens eyes and said, oh, okay, well, maybe there is, you know, a potential market, TV market, for the Big 12 in this time slot, a later slot than you know, than normal, say, you know, in Central Time. And so what does that mean? Well, you got to find more games out west if you want to have more of those games. How do you do that? Well, you bring in teams from the west. So I think that's the thinking, a little bit at least, and maybe that's too simplistic, but I do agree with you. I don't think there's any reason to bring in more teams just to have more schools, unless it equates to, you know, bigger dollars in your TV deal.
BYU fans are well familiar with Jeff Grimes. He had multiple stops at BYU. They loved him the last time he was here. Do you envision him eventually being a Division I head coach?
I think he's ready. You know, I really do. I love Jeff Grimes and, you know, love the wide zone offense he's brought here. I can't say that I've had that discussion with him, you know, face-to-face. Do you want to be a head coach? I think he's in a great situation here. I know he fits in really well with this staff, and Dave gives him freedom to run the offense. So I think he's in a really good situation. But I think if and when he wants to be a head coach, I think he's ready today. You know, we're late in the cycle now. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but you know, whenever he's ready, I think he is very, very well prepared to be a head coach.
What are the expectations for Baylor this year? Is this a team that can compete for a championship? What should you expect from Baylor?
Yeah, good question. You know, I'm one. I work for the athletic department. I look at things, you know, glasses half full.
And you're a homer.
I am. I'll admit that.
I'm the homer for Utah. I'm the color guy for Utah, and they said you get to be a homer. I get it. I understand.
So you know where I'm coming from.
Of course.
But I would say this: Dave Aranda is not going to stand pat after a 6-7 season. Yeah. You know, Baylor was picked to win the Big 12 last year and finished 6-7. You know, with the bowl game loss, and so that to me is not going to happen again. Coach Aranda is not going to let that happen, and so I think we'll be probably picked lower this year in the preseason, and we'll exceed those expectations and finish higher. So that's just, you know, I've got a lot of faith in Dave and these coaches, and I was out there a lot during the spring this year, and I just think this has the makings of a really good team. You know, who's the team to beat the Big 12? I'm not sure right now. I think most people will pick Texas probably, and that happens a lot this time of year.
Yes, it does.
you guys have no idea. We're 100 miles from Austin. You have no idea. So they will probably be picked to win it, but I think Baylor's going to be right there in the mix.
John Morris, Baylor play-by-play guy, has been our guest here. One quick question for you, then I'll let you go. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Dark horse in the Big 12, you know, maybe not TCU dark horse to go to the national championship game, but who's a team that you think may surprise this year in the Big 12?
Ooh, good one. You know, the first school that comes to mind is UCF. I would think there might be a learning curve a little bit for the new schools coming into the league, you know, and playing this caliber of competition week in and week out. But I think UCF is built for this league already, and Gus Malzahn certainly, you know, has been around and has played coached at the highest level. So I don't know where they'll be picked in the preseason. So I don't know if you can call them a dark horse, depending on where they're picked. But I think they may be, really well prepared to step into the Big 12 and do well this year.
Nice. John Morris, he, of course, is the voice of Baylor football and really the Baylor Bears in general. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I'm sure we'll chat soon. Love to, actually. And I'll see you in the fall.
That looks good. Hey, appreciate it, Scott. Thanks very much. And Matt, and y'all have a great day, and thanks for having me on. We look forward to that Baylor-Utah game on September 9th.
Go Utes! All right, thanks. All right, there you go, folks. John Morris, play-by-play for the Baylor Bears. We're going to take a break. We come back. We have I have some thoughts about the LIV Tour. It is unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.